under an enormous white tent, pitched a few hundred meters from the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C., several hundred students with backgrounds in science, engineering, law, economics, and architecture gathered this week at the third annual National Sustainable Design Expo. The event is a major showcase of green ideas for an environmentally sustainable future. The Environmental Protection Agency awards $10,000 to each college or university team with a winning idea. These teams then compete for six grand prize awards of $75,000 each. And these are pretty big ideas we're talking about. In his welcome remarks, EPA official George Gray told the students that the agency started the competition to help make the world a better place.
EPA has an important mission. Our job is protecting human health and the environment, and we take that seriously every day. We also recognize how important it is to support the next generation of folks who are going to come and help us with that mission. That's you, here today on the National Mall.
The Design Expo includes projects such as methods to produce fuel from algae, an affordable system to reduce chemical leaching from farmlands, and a simple means to purify water using the sun. Environmental engineering major Kim Morris stands beside a model of a simple rope water pump. Her team from the University of New Hampshire partnered with a nonprofit organization in Niger to design and install the pump for a school garden in the West African country.
You can see that it works with animal power, and a camel walks in circles and turns the wheel. The energy is transferred to vertical motion, which then pulls the water up through the PVC columns, which are located in the well, and they pull up the rope and washers, which then pull up the water through the column and transfer it into a cistern that's used for drip irrigation.
Morris says the water pump not only made a difference in the daily lives of children in Niger, but also for her classmates at the University of New Hampshire.
You can tell they really appreciate it. We were welcomed with open arms. And it's exciting to be able to transfer the knowledge that we're learning kind of out of the books and sitting in the classroom to something that's actually usable and applicable to something so far away in Africa.
Under another part of the tent, Catherine Game from Albion College in Michigan is pedaling an exercise bike hooked to an electric generator. Her team's Calories to Kilowatts project developed an on-campus education workout center.
The program is set up so that college students who use the equipment keep track of how much energy they're generating, and they can only use that much energy at the end of a month. So they really see how much actual mechanical energy they're using when they work out.
Game says students quickly learn the difference between the energy requirements of a low-wattage laptop computer and that of a high-powered hairdryer. She says project surveys confirm that students are getting the message.
And we've seen a significant increase in participants' knowledge of renewable energy sources, and we've also seen people rate their energy behaviors, energy conserving behaviors, and we've seen an increase in that as well in the surveys.
Other U.S. colleges have expressed interest in the Calories to Kilowatts program, and Game says next year her team plans to install a unit in an elementary school in Cameroon.
Make those muscles work, Catherine.
9-year-old Catherine lifts a bar on a rope attached to a pulley that simulates wave motion on the surface of the ocean.
Did you hear that? You're doing enough energy to run a quarter of a light bulb. That's it.
Former Navy diver Michael Raftery is an engineering student at Stevens Institute in Hoboken, New Jersey. His idea is to harness wave energy. His device would be anchored on the seafloor and attached by cable to a buoy on the ocean surface. Raftery says laboratory results have been promising.
The research tells us we should be able to get somewhere in the 100 kilowatt per unit power range when we scale it up to a full-size ocean-going version off of New Jersey. So if we can put a few thousand of these units off of New Jersey, then we can replace things like the Oyster Creek nuclear power plant.
How do you think that this could be applied not only in New Jersey, but perhaps in other places in the world?
I believe we can lead the entire world in a resource that can replace all fossil fuel and nuclear power. A 400 kilometer by 400 kilometer area of sea surface can replace all of our existing energy demand.
Fiddle playing Appalachian State University graduate student Jeremy Farrell stands next to a bus powered by biodiesel fuel. He and his musical teammates were among the grand prize winners in last year's event with a project called Closing the Biodiesel Loop. Given $75,000 by EPA to further develop and commercialize their idea, the students built an educational laboratory on campus that demonstrates sustainable biodiesel production. Sparrow explains that the closed-loop system uses renewable energy and treats waste from biofuel production.
We have an ecological machine that is treating that wastewater that's produced during the manufacturing of it. That encompasses different people. There's outreach. We've been making soap as one of the byproducts. There's a whole other group of people that are interested in that. So really, I found out that everybody's got something to offer when it comes to biodiesel and that there's just a lot of room for involvement.
Farrell says the adoption of these sustainable principles makes sense for the planet and for the economy. When he graduates next month, he plans to recycle his award-winning engineering talents into a job with a local Boone, North Carolina agency that promotes earth-saving initiatives. I'm Roseanne Scherbel.